Planning to cross the border with your RV? Get ready for an epic adventure with tips on preparing for international travel, must-see destinations in Canada and Mexico, and navigating rough roads like the Alaskan-Canadian Highway. Plus, the latest RV news and RV pro tip you don't want to miss. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Restless Nomads, the ultimate RV show for modern-day rubber tramps and weekend warriors alike. Whether you're chasing sunsets full-time, savoring seasonal escapes, or just hitting the road for a quick weekend getaway, this is your go-to show for tips, tricks, and tales from the road. Join us as we dive into everything RV, choosing the right rig, surviving life on wheels, and navigating the highs and lows of life on the move. From towables to motorhomes, budget hacks to campsite secrets, we've got you covered. So buckle up, nomads, and let's hit the road to adventure, 1 mile at a time. Well, welcome back. This week's episode of The Restless Nomads. It's Mike with you. Check us out on therestlessnomads.com. That's our travel blog. You'll find all of our episodes posted there, as well as some useful information for all you RVers out there. And see Angie and I's latest adventure. All right, so the RV news update. There's a new RV border crossing apps, actually a couple of them, a new wave of smartphone apps aimed to help RVers plan border crossings with real-time updates on wait times, border policies, and even a document checklist. Two apps that come to mind, CrossCheck and Roadbound, could make border hops a little less stressful. Also, Canada is upgrading campsites to accommodate larger rigs. Canada Parks has announced plans to expand more sites to fit larger RVs and fifth wheels, especially in popular spots like Banff and Jasper. The upgrades will also include more electrical hookups and better Wi-Fi. The Alaska Ferry System is lowering their prices for RV transport with travel demand rising. The ferry system is offering special discounts for RVers who book round-trip transport. Now, if you book a job up there, if you happen to score a job in Alaska, many times that company will reimburse you so long as you stay for the duration of the season. If you quit and leave early, that will be on you. All right, let's dive right into it. So today's show is all about international RVing. You know, many of us travel around the United States, and there's a lot to see in the United States. You could probably spend 10 or more years traveling from state to state, and you still wouldn't see everything. But it can be pretty exciting to broaden your horizons a little bit more and cross the borders into Canada and Mexico. You know, there's a lot to see in those places, too. For example, in Mexico, especially during the wintertime, it's a great way to enjoy some sunshine and adventure simultaneously. Baja California offers beautiful beaches, vibrant culture, and some awesome boondocking spots right on the beach. Also, Copper Canyon down in Mexico is a little lesser known gem, and that's actually deeper than the Grand Canyon. The Yucatan Peninsula has a rich history, lots of museums, and beautiful coastlines, as well as ancient ruins to check out. Up in Canada, Banff and Jasper National Parks are unparalleled in beauty, with glacial lakes and rugged peaks. Also, Icefields Parkway is one of the most scenic drives in the world. And Prince Edward Island has some coastal charm and iconic red sand beaches. So lots to see. It is on our bucket list. Angie and I definitely want to cross over into Canada and camp in Canada. And we'd also like to go down into Mexico. One thing that we have thought about is going to southern Arizona and camping on this side of the border and then crossing over just with a truck into Mexico, at least for the first time. That would be a relatively easy thing to do, and we could go explore some of the border towns there. So important things to think about when you cross any border, whether you're in an RV or not, is your passports. You need to make sure that you are current on those, and they need to be valid for at least 6 months beyond your planned stay. So if you have a passport that's getting ready to expire, they expire once every 10 years, you need to get yourself down to the post office and get that renewed. If you're applying for a passport for the first time, you'll go through your post office and you'll file an application. And get this, this is the crazy thing. If you haven't done a passport in a while, or maybe it's your first passport, when you go to the post office with your appointment, you have to set up an appointment online to submit your application. And they don't take copies of your original documents, like your birth certificate and your driver's license. They take the actual copies, or the real thing, and they send those off in the mail to the passport processing center. So that means that if you have any reason to use those documents, like a new job or something like that, you need to plan around that, because you're going to be without your birth certificate and without your driver's license even for a little bit. And I thought that was absolutely insane. You would think that the person behind the counter could say, yes, I verified that this is real, take a photocopy and send it off. But that is not the case. They take your real documents and you are just without them until you get them back in the mail 6 to 8 weeks later. So plan for at least 2 months of not having your documents. And I know I was sweating it when we did it a couple years ago when we got our passports, because I was afraid that they would lose our documents in the mail. And they're sending everything, you know, all the proof that you're an American goes in the mail, and can be a little bit nerve-wracking. I think they should work on that and make that system a little bit better. There's too many things that can go wrong with that. Also, if you're crossing the borders with a vehicle, like an RV, you need to make sure you have your vehicle registration current and also have your proof of insurance. Now, when you get into that country, in Canada and Mexico, this isn't so much of an issue. They'll take your American registration generally. But if you were to ship your vehicle overseas to a different country that is not bordered with us, they may require you to register that vehicle in that country. Just keep that in mind. And then you also want to check your travel visa requirements. Each country has their own rules about how long you can stay there. And many times they will ask you why you're there. Of course, if you're in an RV, you're likely there for vacation purposes, holiday purposes, but maybe you have a job in that country and you may even need to apply for a work visa. Another thing to consider when you're traveling to another country, and this is true of RVs as well as just going to another country in general, is you need to know how long you can drive on your United States driver's license without having to apply for and get a driver's license in that country. I think, if I remember correctly, when we went over to Europe, I think it was like 2 weeks or something. So you could fly to Europe and rent a car and drive around legally on your United States license. But if you were going to be there for more than 2 weeks consecutively, I think you actually had to get a European or a UK driver's license, if I'm not mistaken. So important to research that and have a plan. Also, when you're traveling abroad, whether in your RV or anywhere really, you need to make sure that you are covered with your medical insurance, because there are some medical insurances that if you get hurt and you are not in the United States, you will not be covered. So think about that. Another important thing is to make sure that your cell phone plan is up to date and it's going to allow you to make calls and access data internationally. Most of the cell phone plans, the regular ones here in the United States, will cover Canada and Mexico. If you're traveling over to Europe, then you need to research that, and you could. I know when we went to Europe, we had to purchase data and time, phone time, in order to be able to use those cell towers in Europe. And if you're going to be venturing down into Mexico or up way north into Canada, where there are fewer cell towers, pretty much anywhere in the world where there are fewer cell towers and there's more distance between the cell towers, it's a good idea to download those offline maps on your GPS. Most people use their phones these days, but get on it right now and download those maps ahead of time. That way, when you are smack dab in the middle of two cell towers and they're 200 miles apart, you can still navigate. If you don't want to purchase data, which I think it's kind of a requirement for travelers these days, it sure makes life a lot easier, but you can always rely on your Wi-Fi hotspots and make sure that if you are bringing along your own Wi-Fi hotspot, like Starlink is good pretty much around the world, although they do have some nuanced requirements for that. So check in with that and ensure that you will have connectivity wherever you're going. Also, if you have like a Verizon Cube or AT&T hotspot, you want to make sure that you will be able to use that in the country that you're going to, or have a plan to be able to access the internet without it. So crossing the border when you're driving, some important things to remember. What you can't bring. Good idea to leave the firearms and the ammo at home, especially when you're crossing international borders into Canada and into Mexico. That is 100% of the time going to be a no-go. No firearms, no ammo. Now, you have to consider this for crossing state lines, too. I know with it, you know, if you have an Oregon concealed carry permit and you're carrying concealed in Oregon, and then like here in Klamath Falls, we are not far from the Oregon-California border. So if we cross into California, that's something that we have to think about. We got to pull over before we cross into California and make sure that we get California legal. So putting the glove in a locked glove box, or the gun in a locked glove box, and putting the ammo in the trunk or something like that. Just like we can't bring fresh fruit into California, fresh produce and meats are often confiscated at international borders, Mexico and Canada. So good idea to go ahead and at your last campsite before you cross into Canada or Mexico, have a big dinner and eat all of that. And as soon as you get over into the country you're going to, you can stock up once again and be good to go. Another thing, if you are a tobacco user or an alcohol user, you need to know the limits or just avoid it altogether and do not bring those items into the bordering country, because that's going to get into duties and everything else. So important things to think about. Now, when you get to the border, they very likely will ask you for your documents, and they'll ask you, do you have any firearms? Do you have any produce or meats? Do you have any alcohol or tobacco? The easiest way to get through is they just ask the questions, you say no, and they let you through. But they are totally within their rights to board your RV and go through everything to make sure that you're telling the truth. So keep that in mind. It's possible that you may be pulled out of line and searched, and so you want to be on the up and up because you don't want to have to turn around. That can be a major issue, especially if you have reservations in that country starting that night, right? So it will certainly throw a wrench in your travel plans, and you want to avoid it. Okay, well, after the break, we'll get into some other international interesting stuff. We'll talk about the Alcan. We'll talk about shipping your RV if you're wanting to go to different countries that you cannot drive into, and much more right here on the Restless Nomads RV Radio Show on Gold Country Radio. We'll be right back.